Chivo and his cousin Mosca had crept within 30 yards of the sleeping Anglo, who lay on his back, one arm thrown over his eyes. It had been Chivo's decision to circle around, keeping the line of tethered horses and ponies between them and their intended victim as cover. Neither of them had paid any particular attention to the big raw-boned mule that had stopped eating and was now watching them through bloodshot eyes. Mosca had the Kalashnikov cocked and ready, while Chivo had drawn a slim-bladed knife, carrying a loop of thin rawhide in his teeth, to be used to bind their tender young prisoner. The general had also told them to check out the visitor center, but that could wait. He wouldn't know how long it took them to subdue and kill the guard on the animals. Both men were feverish with lust, in anticipation of plucking the little chicken in front of them. The shooting came from somewhere behind the general and his flag-carrying lieutenant. And it was a familiar sound to JB.
Jack!
The woman with the white-flagged Kalashnikov had turned around, her jaw dropping, the blaster wavering toward the far wall of the garage. The general reacted faster, starting to draw his blaster, while simultaneously dodging and running toward a small half-open door to his right.
Shit!
JB and Ryan were vital splinters of a second ahead of the enemy. They were only a few paces from safety, directly behind them. JB opened up with the Uzi, aiming into the mouth of the tunnel where they knew the concealed guns were covering them. Ryan dropped to a crouch, running in a zigzag. As he darted back toward Christy and the others, Ryan snap-fired the Sig Sauer, trying to pick off the scurrying figure of the general. Both shots missed. Blasters opened up from the far side of the garage, bullets clattering every which way, but nobody was hurt. Ryan and JB landed together in the passage, rolling between Christy and Mildred, who stood holding the Steyr, unfired.
Why didn't you... Of course, me and Ryan were in the way.
JB scrambled hastily to his feet. There was more shooting from the hidden Kalashnikovs, but the aim was wild. Since the first burst of shots from the Colt Python, Jack's blaster had been silent.
What in the name of perdition is happening out there?
Jack, he must have worked around behind them somehow. Gave us the break we needed.
Where did the general go? I lost sight of him.
Hidden door on the side opposite the wag.
JB peered around the corner of the passage.
Dark night. Can't see a thing. Woman's gone as well.
Mildred handed the Steyr back to Ryan.
Now what? It's still a standoff?
No. Not with Jack Lauren behind them. I know the kid well enough. Nothing will stop him in a maze like this. General said he had 9 men. How many rounds were fired by the Magnum?
I counted 4 or 5. Not certain. Jack's not the best shot in Deathlands, but I guess he could have sent 3 or 4 off to buy the farm.
I'm triple anxious about Dean. I reckon the General's likely sent some of his force out back to loop around. We have to get this over quickly.
2 of us could go through the caverns and out into the visitor's center.
It'll take too long, Christy. We must be close to the rear exit.
Ryan glanced around.
Once we clean them out, the wag will be the fastest way.
Hijo de puta!
Listen, Jack's at work again, hitting them from behind.
I think they've stopped, lover.
You think it's worth moving in?
Could be. Run a feint and see what happens. Draw any fire if there's any fire there to draw. But they've seen the general doing a runner out the side. Captain jumping first off a sinking ship doesn't do a lot for the confidence of the remainder of the crew, know what I mean?
What choice do we have?
Okay, people. I'll go right toward the other main exit from here. JB goes for the wag. Full red power all down the line. You 3 wait and see what happens. We get chilled, you know there's no hope of getting out that way. So you go back through the caves and out to Dean and the horses, if they're still there. If we make it, then you all come at once. Mildred for the wag, Doc as well. Christy, follow me. Questions? All right, on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3!
The Navajo ponies were more restless than the Anglo's horses, but Chivo and Mosca were patient, moving slowly, setting down each foot with infinite care, avoiding the sharp snapping of a dry branch.
Shh!
Now they were in among the line of tethered animals, pushing past them, pausing to blow up the nostrils of a spirited black gelding to quiet him down. They could still see the sleeping boy as they worked their way closer and closer. The last animal they had to get past was tied a little way off from the rest of the line, a large mule with mean eyes and cocked ears.
Take care of him, Mosca. Son of a bitch has a face like a devil.
No mule in the world frightens me.
Judas watched them and waited. Ryan knelt on the far side of the garage, glancing behind him. There hadn't been a single shot fired at him or JB as they made their jinking dash across the vulnerable exposed space. JB gave him a quick wave, crouched alongside the last of the General's war wags. Christy, Mildred, and Doc were all waiting for the signal to move.
Yeah, come on!
Ryan turned to face the darkness of the tunnel that he guessed would lead out to the open air at the rear of the caverns.
Want me to get into the wag and start her up?
Give us 10, the driver straight at the back. Wait for us out in the open as long as you think. Should be easy to find the way.
How about you?
I'm gonna find Jack, and then try and get the blood debt settled.
Aye, Jingo!
Three were dead, and one still dying, within the first 20 yards of the corridor. The overhead lighting was good enough for Ryan to see immediately that they'd all been whacked with a large caliber blaster. It didn't need much deductive genius to work out that it was likely to be Jack's satin-finished Colt Python. One of the dead was a woman, slender with short-cropped hair. The rest were male. One had been hit from behind, through the small of the back, ripping a hole out of his belly that you could have driven a semi through. He was leaning against the wall, both hands clutched to the scarlet loops of intestine that gaped from the monstrous wound.
Por favor.
Don't have the time.
Ryan ran on, Christy at his heels.
The general said he had 9 of his people left with him, lover. If he's telling the truth, then he's down to 5, including that giant woman, the one who looked like her elevator didn't go all the way to the penthouse.
Nice line, Christy. You make it up?
Uncle Tyus McCann used to say it. He said he read it in an old book way back when.
The passage was running straight, and the air was fresher, though it was overlaid with the smell of gunfire and the too familiar scent of death. There were 2 more corpses a little farther on. One had been shot, but the other had a neat little knife wound in the side of his throat, into the artery. Blood was still pumping, slow and feeble from the gash.
Then there's 3 left, so General claims.
I wouldn't believe that bastard crazy if he told me the sea was wet. Wait. There's a light ahead.
Dean was dreaming that he'd been driving a chrome-plated pre-dark wag, but the front of it had mysteriously broken away and gone rolling down a steep hill, crashing into an eatery, leaving him in the rear half. The mechanic who was helping him with the repairs was a woman of 18, with blonde hair all the way to her cute little ass. A cute little ass that was hardly contained by the shortest, tightest cutoffs that Dean had ever seen. She was smiling a lot. It was a good dream. Chivo looked at the sleeping boy, less than 12 yards away from them. The child had a big hand blaster at his side, but there was no way he was going to get time to use it.
The little fuck won't know what hits him.
Despite its hostile appearance, the mule didn't seem to mind the 2 men standing right beside it. It was even letting Mosca pat it affectionately on the side of the neck, pushing its long head against the man.
You ready?
Seguro. Let's have some fun.
JB had climbed into the turret of the wag, checking carefully first that there wasn't one of the general's men or women skulking inside. While Doc and Mildred followed him, he checked the controls, finding that the LAV was fully gassed and ready to roll.
Are we about to bid farewell to this abode of Pluto? I would not wish to encounter Cerberus or any of the other followers of this dark lord.
Said 10 minutes, Doc. Only been 4 so far. Give Ryan the time we agreed.
Ryan stopped, and Christy slipped in a patch of dampness and nearly fell.
Whoa! Kaya! What did you do that for?
Listen.
I can't hear anything. Oh. Why can't we hear anything?
We figure there's 3 or 4 more of the hostiles around. The big woman and the general himself. Jack's doing good work in the shadows. So where the fuck are they all?
The caverns were as silent as the tomb they had become. Ryan checked his wrist chron.
6 minutes done. All goes well, then JB will fire up the wagon and head for the back door in 4 from now.
We go on?
Sure. It's not over till it's over.
A large red vending machine stood to the right of the tunnel, with white lettering emblazoned across it, proclaiming Coke. Opposite was a half-open doorway. Ryan pointed to it with the Sig Sauer. Christy nodded, moving forward slowly on the right-hand side of the passage, Ryan keeping level with her on the left.
Where the hell is that coming from?
I don't know.
Christy took a few cautious steps, her back against the wall, reaching the Coke machine, flattening herself against it, while Ryan readied himself to dive for the doorway.
Christy!
The vending machine toppled forward. It knocked Christy over beneath it. Ryan started to turn, seeing the figure of the tall woman behind it, her Kalashnikov ready at the hip. In Dean's dream, the blonde mechanic had fallen to her knees, her thick-lipped pouting mouth opening, the tip of her tongue glistening between pearly teeth. Dean reached down and...
What?
Dean's eyes opened abruptly, and he sat up, part of him scared and angry with himself for having dropped off to sleep when his father had trusted him with the job of watching over the horses, their lifeline out of the desert hills.
Pinche mulo!
These men were in the black uniform of the general. Dean struggled to make sense of what he was seeing only a few yards away. The horses and the Navajo ponies were all spooked, tugging at their bridles, trying to break free. One of the men was on his knees, blood pouring in a cascade from the side of his face. His left arm was jammed between the teeth of Doc's mule, Judas, who was rearing back, blood splattering its chest and forelegs. There was an assault rifle lying in the puddled, trampled dirt by the kneeling man's feet. The second man was limping sideways, hopping on his left foot. He was holding an identical automatic rifle, but firing it was obviously a long way from the focus of his attention.
Shit!
Dean fumbled for his Browning high power, nearly dropping it at his first attempt, grabbing it and thumbing back the hammer. The man who seemed to have been kicked by Judas had finally realized the potential danger of his position and was trying to get his balance and bring the blaster to his shoulder. His comrade was still preoccupied with the fight to wrench his arm from the mule's savage jaws, shaking his head in an attempt to shake away the blinding veil of blood from his eyes.
Look out, Mosca!
The Kalashnikov was finally finding aim in the vague direction of the sitting boy.
Bastards!
The Browning was steady. Dean braced one hand with the other, like his father and JB had drilled into him.
Fucking bastards!
The jolt ran clear to Dean's shoulder as he squeezed the trigger, the force of the recoil coming close to spilling him flat on his back. A puff of gray dust erupted from the standing man's chest, about the center of the fourth rib, halfway across on the right side. He staggered back several paces, narrowly avoiding a vicious sideways kick from the enraged and murderous mule. The rifle was pointing at the dirt, and his finger tightened on the trigger, pouring a futile stream of lead around his own feet. Dean shot him again, this time the bullet smashing the man's left elbow, sending the rifle spinning away.
We want to be your friend, kid! Don't you kill me no more!
Fuck you!
Dean stood and walked a few steps toward the wounded man, leveling the Browning. He shot him twice more through the chest. The man dropped dead, and Dean turned his attention to the other one of the general's men.
No!
Yeah, you bastard!
Dean shot him through the middle of the chest. Judas felt the life fleeing from the target of his venomous spleen, and he opened his crimson teeth, dropping the limp, flopping corpse to the dirt.
That's it, Judas.
Dean was trembling with the violent tension, trying to reload his warm blaster, but finding that his fingers weren't strong in obedience.
You done good, Judas. Real good.
Dean moved in, with a vague feeling that he might reward the mule with a hug or a pat, but Judas snapped out at him, making him back off.
Ha! Hot pipe, you mean son of a fucking bitch, Judas!
A mile and a half away, and 2,000 feet deep, Dean's father was staring into the face of death. The tall, powerful woman had her Kalashnikov braced at her hip, drilling straight at him. The range was less than a dozen feet, and he was off balance, the 6-hour pointing toward the doorway on the wrong side of the tunnel.
Oh, fuck.
Christy was pinioned like a netted bird, the weight of the Coke machine trapping her to the stone floor, her dropped gun a yard away from her groping fingers. Ryan had lived most of his life with a central awareness that the hooded man with the scythe could be waiting right around the next bend in the trail. Trader always said that living was a one-shot operation. But Ryan had never thought it would be in such a bizarre way and in such a strange place.
Adios, puto.
The machine hadn't been emptied in 100 years, but half a dozen Cokes still remained locked in the mechanical depths. As it fell, the front panel came away and the red cans rolled onto the tunnel floor. Christy snatched at one and hurled it. The Coke can hit her left hand, not hard enough to break bone, but hard enough to make her jerk the rifle away from the injury, simultaneously squeezing the trigger. The bullets missed Ryan's left shoulder by a good yard, kicking a fountain of sparks off the vaulted roof and walls of the passage. The blunt snout of the Sig Sauer centered on the woman's body. The 9mm round seemed to disappear into the black-clad bulk, as though the woman's body had simply swallowed them up.
Again.
Ryan carefully put a fourth bullet through the middle of her half-open mouth. Ryan holstered his gun and stooped to heave away the fallen vending machine.
Thanks, lover.
He helped Christy up, dusting her down. She looked at the dead woman and the can of Coke that had saved both their lives.
Like they used to say, there's nothing like the real thing.
Find Jack.
Found you.
They turned in relief at the familiar voice.
You did good, friend. Saved this one-eyed old fart from becoming coyote lunch.
Jack appeared, holding his big blaster, his white hair like an extra light in the main passage.
Got it.
Yeah. How many of the rest you got? And how many left?
All and none. Just a general someplace, running and breathing.
On an impulse, Christy took a step forward and hugged the teenager, who stood still and endured the embrace, showing no trace of emotion.
You did well, Jack. Truly.
Chilled the pack, but not the leader.
Ryan looked around him.
JB, Doc, and Mildred are on their way. The general could be anywhere by now.
Jack looked at Ryan intently.
You going?
Ryan rubbed his hand over his chin.
Look, these caves run for miles. The bastard might be anywhere. He might know another way out. It's not worth...
Not worth Christina and Jenny's lives, Ryan. Anyway, no other chance out.
How do you know?
Heard talk before chilled him. Two ways. One there...
He hiked his thumb behind him.
And visitor center. General hasn't come this way. Reckon cutting back and out front.
Dean's there. I got a serious fear that the general might have sent out a scouting party around the front and caught him cold.
Get the wagon, drive around. It'll only take about a quarter of an hour. And if Jack's right, then we can cut the general off before he escapes into the hills.
Jack?
Yeah. But if it doesn't come out, then I stay. You go fine. Meet back at the spread. But I stay until I look in the general's face and chill him. You understand?
Sure. Might even stay a spell with you here myself. Getting a real taste for those caverns. Here comes JB.
The clouds had vanished, and the sky was a light blue from east to west and north to south. JB had switched off the engine of the wag, and it was cooling. Dean had hailed them, eagerly waving both hands above his head, rattling off the story of his adventure and the part that the sullen mule had played in it. Ryan, in turn, gave the boy a capsule version of what had been happening since they parted a few hours earlier.
I swear I'd plant a kiss on Judas if I didn't think he'd take off my face.
I cannot convey the delight felt in my nether regions at the thought that I will never again have to straddle that saw-backed equine from Hades.
Doc reached out with the tip of his sword stick and scratched Judas behind one ear. Amazingly, the mule stood still for it, almost looking pleased with itself.
All we need to do now is wait for the general to put in an appearance.
I still think we should have put a watch on the scuttle door out of the warren.
Ryan looked at Jack.
Would have been safer.
No.
The young man's eyes were flaming like ruby torches.
Got a feeling. Like Christy.
But if you're wrong...
Ryan glanced around.
It's not all that long before dark. He can slip out past us. Be 30 miles away by the dawn. In any direction. We're double close to the Grandee. General gets over that and he's safe forever.
Jack stepped so close that Ryan could feel his breath on his face. The teenager was the best part of a foot shorter than he, but he managed to come near to staring directly into Ryan's good eye.
He can run, he can fight, can try to hide, but not forever, friend. Nobody runs forever. That's a promise.
Do you really know he'll come? I can understand that, Jack. I hope it's a right feeling.